Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
1 Timothy, the third chapter. Appreciate our worship team. And let's read from verse 1, reading from the New International Version. If you're all there, say amen. Amen. Qualifications for overseers and deacons. Here's a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task, and overseers to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must be first tested, and if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate, trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Father, move in power on this special night, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just a quick testimony from Barrow. I believe it's Barrow. It was up north. I had a wonderful time breaking bread with Pastor Anderson and Minister Kinu there in Anchorage as they passed through. They were just here for a week. And they had revival in Barrow, and he was there, and it was the whaling festival, and he got to pray over all the whaling teams. I think there were 16 different whaling teams, and it was just a powerful time. Apparently, there was an Episcopal priest, a woman, who came here 2 weeks prior to that event. I do believe I remember praying over her right here. We prayed and prophesied over her. That's what she said. Not uncommon. And she was up there in the Episcopal Church. So when she saw Pastor Aaron as a part of Kings and they had this blessing at the Episcopal Church, she said, and tonight, Pastor Aaron from Kings is going to be preaching, having a special service, which was news to him. And God moved in power, and they had a four-hour service with people getting touched by God, and it was astounding. And so that precious lady, I hope she comes back. You might even be online right now. We have people online from Barrow. In fact, Barrow, Prudhoe Bay, Washington, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Maui's online, Dillingham, Point Hope, Points to Hope. We're so glad you're with us. Southeast Missouri, Kentucky, and Talkeetna online, just to name a few. And God's doing something in the villages. He's raising up leadership all around the world. And we're grateful for what's happening, what has happened, not only through the Andersons, but through so many. And we are making plans to go consistently to Point Hope and to Barrow we're going to head to. And we're gonna have a system by which we can regularly come up there. We will not leave you as orphans. There's 40 people, I'm told, in Point Hope that's regularly on, probably on right now. We love you deeply from the Lord. We honor you, and we're committed to you, and we will see God fulfill all that he wants to do in Point Hope. Can you say amen? God is raising up leadership, and I want to take just a few minutes here to preach and teach to you from this text. We're all called to lead. Everyone's called to lead. A quote from C.S. Lewis is powerful. He says this: everyone we meet will affect us in either one of two ways. It'll affect us so that we will see them in glory, or we'll see them so hideous in hell. There is a power released through leadership, and when you meet people, you'll affect them to go either way. Aspire to be a leader. I heard the Lord say that to me when I woke up from my half an hour power nap. The angel with the billy club came and just clubbed me right after the Slavic service, and I woke up and heard aspire to be a leader, and I was praying from this text. It's a great need for godly leaders in the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. A great need for godly leaders. And this text, we see what a godly leader is like from the Apostle Paul. And I'm not going to preach real long to you. I'm going to go for maybe another 10 minutes. And then I've asked the Hergolots to come. They have been, or received rather, the bestowal of minister. And I'll talk about that in a moment, and they're going to share for a few minutes about their experience being elevated and being trained and being raised up. They didn't get saved here, but they're tremendously anointed by God, have been used by God, and we're going to honor them tonight and have a time of celebration after. The Apostle Paul encourages people to be a leader in God's church. He encourages, aspire to be a leader. I want you to say that. Aspire to be a leader. That is a right out of the text. Somebody said, oh, I don't want to be a leader. Everybody's influencing someone. You're all leading in some capacity, the way that you drive, the way that you tip, or maybe not drive so well, or maybe that word desire is to yearn for. Desire or aspire, to yearn to be a leader. I mean, those are very strong words in the Greek, and this passage helps us to be intentional, to understand actually what is involved or required as a leader. And we said, I want to be a leader. Well, you're going to have to do these things. You have to follow this list right here. The church needs oversight. The nation needs oversight. Pastors, evangelists, prophets, and teachers, the fivefold expressed in Ephesians, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So important. I'm going off to Newburgh, New York. Well, I'm flying into LaGuardia. I have a miracle where I'm able to see my father for the first time in 7 years. And the way that that happened and was confirmed was overwhelming to me. I mean, I'm studying, getting ready, praying, Spirit of God on me, and it's confirmed that I get to see my father in New York when I land, and I haven't seen him in 7 years because of COVID and other reasons. It's a gift. It's just God saying, I just love you, son. I know how much you miss your dad. I know how much you miss him, so I'm gonna let you go see him. Then I go to Newburgh, New York, and I'm gonna walk through a facility. We do not have a pastor to put there. But I feel so strongly, especially Dr. Morocco feels so strongly, go there. It's 40 miles from where I went to an all-boys boarding school. Why would you do that? Because we move in faith. And I believe that God will give us a pastor to pastor Newburgh. How is that going to happen? I have no idea, but I don't even know how he raised me up. I don't know how he raised up the Hergolots. I definitely don't know how he raised up the Kirstens. Come on, all of us are a phenomena. He said, well, I don't know if I can do it. Duh. All of us are incapable in the natural, but God will help us to put together character. He will help us to do these things. Aspire to be a leader. Say it with me. Aspire to be a, now make it personal. I aspire. All right. Threefold aspect of becoming a leader in God's church. God's call has to be clearly seen. We've certainly seen that in the Hergolots, and we commend you. And they have a desire to serve, and I see the call of God on so many people as well. You know, not everybody answers that. I was sitting here talking to Minister Toby. I said, you do know how rare this is, right? He said, oh yeah. Mr. Toby been in the church, what, 10 years now, Dee? About 10 years. His daughter's, wife's on the platform singing. And it's just astounding. My son playing the bass. And I see leadership all through. I see families. I see multi-generational. I see the Pisonis on the second row. Is your kids the fifth generation? Your children are the fifth generation in this church. Five generations in one same church. Because somebody ought to say hallelujah. That's a miracle. And it's not the only family of this five generations. There's others. Pastors on staff for 24 years, almost as long as me. We tease each other about that. Pastors on staff for 43 years, 35 years. Most pastors don't even stay in a church for 5 years. That's like, whoa, 5 years. 3 years is the average time a pastor stays at a local congregation. We've almost been here for 17. Why is that? Because God's called us here. God's called us to do it. And fulfilling God's requirement for leadership is so important. All right, so there's two kinds of leaders, overseers and deacons. Overseer, bishop, elder, overseer, pastor, they're all synonymous. They all mean the same thing, all right? And it's changed over the years, and you can do a whole study on that. Deacons, deaconesses, deacon means servant. I said deacon means servant. That's what that means. He's like, I'm a deacon. That means you're a servant. So come on, let's all serve. Deacon's a person who serves, a person who's a go-between is another meaning for that. All right, look at the text. Verse 2. Overseer, above reproach. That means you're blameless. That means nobody can say anything about you that you haven't done anything wrong. I don't mean in your past life. I mean now in your new. How many of you have done a bunch of things wrong in your past life? The BC days, before you gave your life to Christ. But when you give your life to Jesus, you ought to have a life that moves to being blameless. He said, well, nobody's perfect. Yes, the Lord's perfect. And he calls you and I to be perfect. Amen. He calls you and I to be holy, to live holy, blameless, whose actions are observed. There's no secret agenda. There's no secret thing there. If you have secrets, it'll destroy you. Husband of one wife. It doesn't mean you can't be divorced, although some would argue that. I am divorced, have been divorced, but I was divorced before I got saved. And I guess, what do they call me? A pre-conversion divorce. That's for that's what the Assemblies of God have given me a title. You've been pre-conversion divorce. So apparently that's good. How many of you believe in new creation? I was so irritated back in the 90s when we moved to get our license with the AG. And they said, oh no, yeah, you were divorced. I'm like, what? Yeah, I was also a drug addict. So, and in fact, they're related. And he set me free. So what are you going to hold that against me? Are you going to say that I'm a sinner now? No, you're a rank piece of trash. Go eat. No, all right, I'm getting on my soapbox a little bit, but it means you can't have serial marriages. Well, she wasn't with me in the ministry, so I just got another one. Yeah, you're disqualifying yourself. He wasn't with me in the ministry, so we just got another husband. Uh-huh. Okay. You got to control oneself. Temperate, sober, self-controlled, respectable. These are qualities that an overseer should have, that a pastor should have, that a bishop should have. They're synonymous, those terms. These are qualities that you should have. Hospitable, able to teach. If you're a pastor and not able to teach, you should probably do something else. Not given to drunkenness. Well, amen. We talked on that just recently. His temperament should be gentle. He said, well, you're not very gentle. That's true, but I do have a gentle side. You can ask my wife. Amen. I'm not violent, except spiritually I am. Not a lover of money. Listen, if you love money, you're going to pierce yourself through with many piercings, the Bible says. So don't let money be your, that was a God's witness right there. Amen. must manage his family well, must have obedient children who respect him. My children respect me, and we made sure of it. My wife and I made sure of it. And they serve God. He said, well, my kids don't serve God now that they got out of the house. We'll keep praying. Once they get out of the house, that's on them. You pray. But if they're in your house and they're dishonoring and disrespectful and they don't obey you, then you disqualify yourself. I got one amen. Where was that? God bless you. Somewhere. I told my children the same thing that Dr. Morocco told his. If you don't serve God, I can't fulfill the call of my life. If you don't obey me, you don't live right, I can't fulfill what God called me to do. Must manage his family well, my. Must be spiritually mature. Good reputation with outsiders. We frequent restaurants all the time. I've shared this before. And the damage that has been done through church people who don't take care of servants and restaurants and don't tip well and they're rude. I said medium rare. Yeah, you need to like never go to a restaurant. You should just eat at home so no one knows what a wretch you are. Actually, you should just get delivered and get healed and quit being angry. People, come on, serve people, love people. Come on, can I get an amen from Pastor Karen on the front row? Good reputation with outside. What would people say about you? What do they say when you show up? Are they glad you're there? Or they're like, oh my gosh. Here we go. My brother's managed numerous restaurants. And you know the kind, right, Chris? They come in, here they are, here they go. I don't want that table. Dad, I came here before. They gurk us, they don't tip any money, and they're like, my bread's not hot enough. They're constantly sending things back. They order things, and then when it comes there and they say, I didn't order it, on and on and on. If you have a reputation like that, you need to be delivered. And you'll certainly disqualify yourself. Well, how do you know if somebody has a good reputation about you on the outside? It'll come around. You find out. Deacons and deaconesses, self-control. True biblical convictions. Biblical give convictions. I heard somebody say, well, I'm not convicted about smoking weed. I can smoke weed because it's legal. I'm not convicted. It's because your conscience is seared. So you need to have biblical convictions. So just because, I'm gonna say it. Just put your seat in the upright lock position, fasten your seatbelt. So just because they say that you can have same-sex marriage, you should do that too. You fight that thing. You fight that confusion. You get set free from that bondage. Did he just say that? Yes, he did. Self-control, biblical convictions. Got to be tested. Got to be tested. If somebody can't keep their word, then they're not going to keep their word later. Pastor Kirsten was a great text you just used. If you're faithful in little, he makes you ruler over much. But if you can't be faithful, if you can't give 10 cents on a dollar, do you actually think you should be responsible for the finances of a church? No. Read my white lips. No. No. You're a thief. We had somebody leave years ago by a statement I'm about to say. I'm going to say it again. If you feel led to leave, we bless you. I hope that you would one day come back. I said, don't ever shake hands with a non-tither. They might steal your rings right off your fingers. I got so offended and they left. Listen, I want to offend sin in you and I want to offend anything that's going to cause you to get derailed. I'm going to offend on purpose. I'm going to on purpose do it. Why? Because Jesus did it. Jesus did it like that. Come on, we need to be offended where we're broken and where things aren't right. If you're not nice out there, you need to change. You're going to be tested. You have true biblical convictions. You got to have a strong marriage. Never ask the husband if you have a strong marriage. You ask the wife. Because they're always like, you know, that's right. We're strong. Oh, you ask the wife. How are we doing? We're doing good. Awesome. Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? Can I get an oh me or oh my or something? Got to have a strong marriage. And family, your family's got to be strong. Got to be worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers. He's talking specifically to women in the text. So why does he pick on women when he says malicious talkers? You ever wonder why that is? How many of you ever wonder why that is? He's speaking to women and says, don't be malicious talkers. Don't look at me like that. It's in the Bible. Did you guys read it? We read it. You're looking at me like, don't you say anything about women. Women used like 10 times. It's not 10. How many times more words? Pastor Karen, let's ask Pastor Karen. How many more times do it's at least double. You use twice the amount of words that a man uses. I mean, you can go look it up. And women talk more. Thank God. Amen. Ask a man how he's doing. He's like, good. How are you? Ask a woman, she's going to tell you,
I woke up and the birds were singing, I came down, none of it, I went to get my toast, you know, they didn't have that kind of toast that I like, the protein bread, so I had the three-seed bread, the correct, you know, the one. And then I left the butter out, but somebody put it in the fridge. We just asked you how your day was, we didn't even get past the buttered toast yet.
Hallelujah! It's a glorious gift, but you have to be careful that you don't run your mouth. Lift your hands to heaven and say hallelujah. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. No, 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 no. Shut your mouth. Okay. Simply what God is saying to us is that he's concerned about us having godly leaders. And before I turn this over to the Hergelots here in just a moment, these are godly leaders. And we're honoring them tonight. And in the process of elevation, not everybody's made a pastor right away. And honestly, not everybody's supposed to be a pastor. And it's not it's a high calling, but how many of you know the high calling is raising your children to be world changers? How many of you know a high calling is to be at home, homeschooling maybe, or at the job, or driving a sanitation truck? Honestly, the high calling of God is in what God's called you to do. That is your high calling. And so many people say, well, I just, you know, the pinnacle of fulfilling the call is to be a pastor or an evangelist. Stop. No, it isn't. There's some pastors that should resign. And there's some people that should step up and lead in that way. You never should. I'm not called to be a businessman. I'm called to be a preacher, teacher. I'm called to preach, pray, and prophesy. And I'm going to fulfill that. So as long as I live, I won't ever back off. No way. Don't ask me to be a part of your downline. I'm not selling Amway, toilet paper, toothpaste, Mona V. I'm not selling any of that. I'm not participating in magnets or Shackley or vitamins or oils, snake oil, essential oil. The only oil I'm going to distribute is the golden oil of Zechariah. Can somebody say amen? That's what God called me to do. I tried to do that. Oh, you can really help people. Long ago, tried to do it. And the thing is that every person I was meeting, I want to win them to Jesus. But actually, wait, do you want some magnets? You know, it's just kind of confusing. I thought, man, I can't do it. I had a dear friend of ours say, you're going to help people. I'm like, okay, I'm going to help people. No, they can get out of their poverty. Great. I'm going to teach you how to get out of your poverty, but I'm not selling you any snake oil. It works maybe for other people. For me, it's confusing in my call. I can't do that. I'm a beekeeper. My wife's opened a business for our honey. That's on her. She's going to run that. What's the name of it? I'm not telling, because I don't want you to just come and buy my honey, because I don't ever want to manipulate. I probably shouldn't even have said that. The point is God's raising up godly leaders and fulfilling the call. And in the process of that fulfillment here in this house, we have people that go through leadership training. Anybody can be a leader here in this house, anyone. But you must go through the steps and you must fulfill the requirements that we're talking about right now. And as you go through that, there's an elevation process. The Hergelots have been here, I want to say, 8 years. Is it almost 10? Almost 10 years. And they have served in every capacity. And the process of that, we felt to give them the bestowal of minister. Now, what that is an acknowledgement that they have all of these, what I've just preached to you, and I went quickly over it. They fulfill all of that. You fulfill all that. I'm looking at your beautiful children. They let me know I'm talking about you. Hey, what's up? They're not running around pulling the hair out of the kid next door. They're sitting quietly. And that takes a minute to learn that. Way to go. So kids, you know, if you don't obey mom and dad, do you know that they can no longer be in ministry? Just reminding you. No pressure. And so the bestowal of minister, and it is a bestowal. It's not just, we don't just flip that out. It takes a bit. It's not only education, but it's fruitfulness. It's everything I just taught, but it's more than that. It's an ability to be able to reproduce yourself and raise up leaders. This incredible couple have fulfilled that, and even greater things are ahead. Can you say amen? God desires us to aspire to be a leader. Would you please put your hands together for the Hergelots as they come? Come all the way up on the platform, and they're going to share for just a few. Come on all the way up. They're going to share for just a few minutes. And then after they do, thank you, you can be seated. After they do, we're just going to pray blessing over them, and then we're going to eat some cake and celebrate. And I think we have two mics, is that correct? We have two, we have one, is that good? Well, y'all look handsome tonight. Yeah, sure, go ahead, take two. That way, if he starts talking too much, you can interrupt him. One more time, put your hands together for the Hergelots.
My, oh my. First, I want to say thank you to Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen.
Oh, he can't
look great. And the gift that they are to us and to this church, to this house. We are so honored and grateful. I'll try to maintain here. Like hallelujah.
What is Father's Day?
It is. Happy Father's Day, by the way. So we want to say thank you so much, and it's such an honor to be here and for this moment in our lives. And you know, when it comes to, we rewind the hands of time, and we go back 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think of where we were at that time. One of the passions in our life, one of the ministries that we are totally passionate about, is marriage ministry. Mm-hmm. And I remember a time when, speaking of leadership, all of those things in Scripture, probably wouldn't made hardly one of them. You know, Ari and I met at 25, we took together 25 years now. Mm-hmm. And then we got married, we've been together in marriage 23 years. And we didn't know Jesus at all when we met, I guarantee you that. We met in that established, that esteemed location of the AK Corral is what they called it. So we were not Christians at that time. It's an office building now. Anyway. So I was not the spiritual head of my home or myself. I was not the priest of my home. Mm-mm. And I don't want to glorify sin or anything like that, and that's the past. I'm a new creation in Christ. We are. But you know what? I was not a good husband. As a matter of fact, I was the man you'd never want your daughter to meet. That's who I was. And Aaron, when we realized that we needed help, what I deserve and what I receive are two different things. Glory to God. So Aaron and I, we needed some help. And you know, just like others have told in their testimony, there was a time where our families were saying, why don't you just cut that and end it? It's too tough. And then we went to a church, not this church, and we went to a church, and the pastor said, you know what, I can't handle this. He referred us to a Christian counselor, and the Christian counselor, halfway through it, used a four-letter word in the counseling session. She was so frustrated, and that was the end of the counseling. So we got kicked out of counseling because of our marriage. Then we had ourselves. And then we received Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's where it all changed.
Yeah.
And I remember a time, and then I'll wrap my piece up here. I'll never forget when we were going through. And if anyone, may I say, even online, if anyone's going through a hard time like that, be encouraged.
Yeah.
God can do things in your life. God will change and transform you. It's not over. There's hope. I called my dad up at 2 a.m. one day, 25 years ago, and I said, Dad, I have never tried so hard to make something work in our marriage, to watch it fall apart before my very eyes. And then we ended our conversation. And how profound that statement was that I made. Mm-hmm. I had mm-hmm. never tried so hard. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the Holy Spirit. And thank God that He has given us all Holy Spirit in our lives. He is my helper, our counselor, our leader.
Amen.
And I have another helper as well, a gift that God gave me. And it's Minister Arian. And she stuck with me even through those times where I was not the godly man I should have been. And I thank God for that.
You know, when he's talking, I'm thinking about like our whole, all of our relationship. And, you know, we didn't really learn how to be leaders, true leader principles, until we came to Kings. And we just want to encourage you that this is an excellent church, King's Cathedral and Chapels. We didn't learn how to be servant leaders until we came here. We didn't understand, you know, that it was important to serve. We thought, you know, we just show up and you get served, you know, and then we learned, you know, no, it's about serving, and there's joy in that, and that's how you grow. And you, and it, well, just like in Galatians 6, verse 9, don't grow weary in doing good, because at the right time or season, you will reap a harvest if you do not lose hope. So do not lose hope. It's so easy to do, but be encouraged. Pray. And prayer is definitely the thing. Prayer. And this is something we learned here, the principle of prayer. I could go on and on about so much that we've learned at this church, and but we just don't have time to. But it's an excellent church. I mean, of course, we attribute our growth to the Lord, but Kings, the canopy of anointing flows down from the Lord, Dr. Morocco, Pastor Colleen, Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen, all the staff, all the pastoral leadership. They all have an understanding of the canopy of anointing. And by you being a part of the body here at Kings, you are blessed by that anointing. There's a protection and a canopy that comes with that. Amen. So we know that well. Amen.
There are so many things that we could say, like Arian said, but that's the one thing we learned from that time where We were not with kings. We went through it, and it was tough. But the Lord saw us through it. And when we came to Kings, everything that we talk about, we tell people in counseling, you, here are the three things that you must do. Get into the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path.
Amen.
Get into prayer. We have it 7 days a week here. Yeah. And then get plugged in and serve with your hair on fire. Yeah. And that's what I say about King's Chapel, King's Cathedral. I tell you right now, all of that is there. We have Discover Track. We have one thing after another as far as
lead class.
We have
life groups.
We have things going on. We have men's group. We have a luau coming up. We have women's tea. We have a men's break. It is nonstop. When mm-hmm. you grab on the train, make sure you're running, because if you grab it, it'll rip your arm off. Yeah. And that's the way it is here. Grow in the things of God. And I tell you, this is such a life.
It is.
Giving church.
Yes, amen.
Don't stand off to the side and run off and be one that departs from the fold. Stay in the fold, because that's where God's going to use you.
Amen.
You wander off, that's where the enemy's going. He'll get you. Stay in the fold. Get plugged in. We thank you for our leadership,
yes.
Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen. We are so, so humble and grateful. And we just thank you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here's what we want to do. Here's what we're going to do. I want you guys to just come down here. Come stand down here if you could. You better use the stairs. I tried jumping. It can be painful. And I want the pastors and ministers to come, please. Just turn to face the congregation. We're going to pray over you. Right here, front and center. Pastor Kirsten, would you grab a microphone and go ahead and just lead out and jump and just bless him. Come on, reach your hands towards him.
Why don't you all stand together with us and stretch out your hands if you would.
I'm praying the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your voice for just a moment.
Thank you, God. Holy Spirit.
Just as Paul wrote to Timothy, we charge you to preach the word, to be prepared in season and out. We charge you with the proclamation of the gospel, with raising up leaders. And in this house, we charge you with the multiplication of what God has done in your life to happen again and again. And we recognize even today and from this moment on, the power of God operating through your life. And we come into agreement with the bestowal, and we declare over your life, the best is yet to come. So be filled with faith. Be filled with power. Minister Hank. Minister Arian Herglotz. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So before we go and celebrate, they are no longer Hank and Arian. They are now Minister Hank, Minister Arian. And you say, why is that? Because it's a culture of honor we have here. We're not into creating titles so that we can think we're something great. We are great because the great one lives on the inside of us, but we're to honor each other. Minister Hank, Minister Arian from this point on. And one more thing, just tell folks what teams do you lead? Tell them what you do real quick. And then we'll pray over the cake, I guess.
Amen. Yeah. So facilities and passion has always been men's ministry. So we have men's ministry.
You're over the men's team.
Men's team. And then we have the Saturday morning prayer that we lead for the men and the women. And KSM.
And you're over KSM? Go ahead, tell them.
Well, Pastor Kirsten and Pastor Kimmy are directors, but I help.
Yeah. So... Well. Yeah,
and of course, marriage ministry.
We actually counsel quite a few people. One may not realize that, but we find joy in that. And anything where we remember our past, where we can be a help and a glimmer of hope for someone else, it is possible. God, you can do anything through Christ who will strengthen you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, powerful. Before we dismiss, if you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, would you just for a moment bow your head and examine your heart? And if you've never given your heart to Christ, won't you do it today? Make a decision. If you're online, up in Barrow, wherever you are, all around the world potentially, want to give your heart to Jesus, won't you do it now? Give your life to Christ. You'll never regret it. These guys were kicked out of counseling. Their life was jacked up just like mine, just like countless others. Give your life to Jesus. It's a relationship. It's not religion. Get right with God. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. All across this place, you say, that's me. I want to get right with God. Thank you. You want to recommit your life? Do it. Do it now. Pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place, to rise again for the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. And just as you rose again from the grave, raise my life up now and use me to expand your kingdom. That when I stand before you at the end, I'd hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, I pray, fill and touch and bless each and every one now. Break every bondage, release your power. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.